Hey, I'm Rebecca Blacksmith back here on Leaders Portfolio, and we just spoke with Greg Cangiolisi. He's the president and CEO of Blue Sky Factory. And now in studio with us is the CEO of VIP Desk, Mary Naylor. Now, I mentioned her story a little bit earlier, but it's a great story, and we're going to get to that in a little bit. But about the $2,000 loan from her mom. VIP Desk is based in Alexandria, Virginia. It's a home-based contact center solution and concierge service. And Mary, I'm going to start off by saying, what do you provide your clients?
Rebecca, it's great to be here. And what VIP Desk provides our clients are two primary services. One is our concierge program, which is really our flagship product. And by that, what we mean is we provide a virtual personal assistant. So making dining reservations, theater event tickets, travel planning. So our clients are large national brand leaders who offer our concierge service as a value-added benefit to either their credit card holders or GM OnStar, Mercedes-Benz. Those are some of our clients. So they provide our concierge service as a value-add to the owners of those types of cars.
And you started this when?
I started this company in 1997, and it's actually a spinoff of my first company, which I started back in 1987, which was called Capital Concierge.
And you started with a $2,000 loan from your mom.
Right. The first company, Capital Concierge, I was 24 and headed to law school. And at the last minute, literally a couple weeks before I was supposed to start law school, read an article about someone who had started a concierge company in California. And it was just one of those lightning bolt moments where I thought, this is a great idea. It'd be perfect for the D.C. market. You know, lawyers, lobbyists, busy people. And went out there to get enough understanding of what this person was doing, came back, skipped out on law school, and moved into my mother's basement, much to her chagrin, borrowed $2,000, and started Capital Concierge, which placed concierge in the lobbies of commercial office buildings in Washington. So more of a localized on-site staffing versus VIP Desk, which is national call center focused.
And this was all from an article, so thank God you read that article.
Thank goodness. And I had no business training. I had no finance background, all of my, you know, college focus. I was a liberal arts communications major and almost did anything I could to avoid any sort of business finance class. And here I end up, you know, now 20 plus years later.
You wish you took the class?
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, learning as you go.
It's similar.
And I had a lot of great mentors along the way. And, you know, so I think, you know, hopefully I've had a lot of school of hard knocks and learned from some real pros. So I've had a good education, a long one.
Now, you work with a lot of blue chip clients.
Yes, we do.
Was that cultivated or did it just start to occur and then
snowball? Well, I think, you know, a couple of key things. One is when you're starting a company, one of the lessons I learned from one of my mentors is always try to get that great first reference account. So when you're starting something up, you need that credibility to go out and build your business and bring on additional clients. So we always looked at from the outset when we started VIP Desk, who are national brand leaders that were in our target markets and, you know, put out an all-out effort to get those companies as clients. Our very first client was MasterCard. And so just in terms of having a, you know, a great blue chip company that then we could go out in terms of trying to sell additional accounts, that was a great one to point to. And our second one was Citi. So those were our first two.
And then I also wanted to ask you about another theme among your background was that you love entrepreneurs because you serve on the executive committee of the Young Presidents Organization, member of the Young Entrepreneurs Organization. What is it about entrepreneurs that you value? Is it because you started with a $2,000 loan and you did the school hard knocks?
I think there is something just in the DNA of an entrepreneur, an enthusiasm, an internal sense of optimism, building something out of nothing. You know, so there are people that, you know, take an idea and extract the particulars out from it and bring it to life. And a lot of people talk about doing it, but it's really exciting to be around these people who I'm continually inspired by that have done multiple companies and been very successful. And it's just a different breed. As I said, the energy, the excitement, you know, is just so strong. And the experience, I think they're very candid and open about what they've learned, the bumps in the road. There's a lot of, you have to be able to take, you know, the highs and the lows. And it's very different from being, I think, a professional hired gun experience. But all, you know, have their places. Many entrepreneurs can grow their companies only so to a certain point.
Yep.
And then you need that professional, you know, executive leadership management, you know, that's classically trained to come in and take over.
And we're speaking with Mary Naylor, CEO of VIP Desk. Give us a little bit about what you're trying to accomplish for VIP Desk currently.
Well, right now, as I mentioned, our flagship product is our concierge offering. Obviously, in this economic environment, looking for new lines and opportunities for growth, we launched a new product offering a couple of years ago, which is really taking off now. It's called VIP Desk Connect, which is outsourced customer care. So traditional call center work, mm-hmm. but the twist for us is our concierge model and call center model for the concierge offering. All of our people are home-based. And there is a huge interest among the Fortune 1000 in bringing jobs home and moving their traditional call center customer care work to a home-based model. So we've been doing this since 2000, so it was natural for us to leverage this platform we built and move beyond concierge types of calls and handle other calls such as sales and customer service. So one of our clients now is Eddie Bauer, so we do all of their catalog orders. So it's growing that line of business to handle more types of calls and really become what we're calling, you know, brand experience management experts, because every customer contact is really a marketing event. And so leveraging this concierge heritage is something very unique that we have in the marketplace. So we're trying to bring that in terms of using this home-based individual, which is a much higher caliber than that comes into a traditional call center, and really transform the results for these companies.
I imagine it's a win-win because you've got companies who don't want overhead in employees and cubicles, and they don't want all the technology
the infrastructure
costs.
Yeah. There's built-in business continuity. You know, everyone's not sitting in one center. So if there's a, you know, a catastrophe or power outage, and the caliber of people, the average age is 42. The average age of a person that's drawn to a traditional call center environment is 19 to 22. So you have, you know, savvy, worldly people, highly educated, many of them. And just the results are just night and day in terms of quality and actual, you know, revenue generated, average order size, you know, in every single case.
How do you avoid the screaming two-year-old running through the house?
It's a very good question. There are very rigorous standards that are imposed, and not everyone is meant to work from home. So there is a checklist in terms of security requirements, computer requirements, locked office, needs to be, you know, soundproof, meaning no background noise, and there's a zero tolerance policy for, you know, doorbells ringing, dogs barking, as you said, mm-hmm. the two-year-old running through the house. So,
Interesting. All right, we're speaking with Mary Naylor, VIP Desk CEO. What's your leadership philosophy?
For me, in terms of it's letting people focus on their, what I call unique abilities, and letting them really find their true talents. And what I mean by that is everyone has a passion and really shines at something. And instead of expecting everyone to do a little bit of everything, which is many times the case in an entrepreneurial company, mm-hmm. you need people to straddle a lot of different roles, but to really find out what people excel at, what brings them excitement, what they're passionate about, what other people recognize that they're great at, and try to find ways to let them delegate everything else, to really focus, you know, the majority of their time on working in their unique ability, and to let them run and not micromanage, and to give people a lot of latitude, you know, to do what excites them and inspires them.
I read somewhere that you're hiring 150 people right now.
We're hiring 150 people right now. We have, like I said, we're very fortunate in that we've been experiencing growth. We just hired 300 some people in the last quarter last year. And now we're hiring 150 people for a program expansion that we're going through right now.
Wow. One of the few companies that's hiring
like I said,
right now.
We're very excited. We just had our all company virtual meeting today. And it was very exciting just to hear the feedback from the team that, you know, we're growing,
yeah,
which is very positive. And you want to hear those good stories. And there are a lot of companies that are growing out there. And I think, you know, we're starting to feel, you know, opportunities and the pot stirring back in terms of people coming knocking at our door for new opportunities as well. So, you know, we're starting to feel a little bit of shift from last year, you know, which was a much tougher year.
Yeah. So that kind of leads into another question that I have, which is how are you managing in this economic climate? So you came out of, it was tough, and now it's almost too much. I mean, it's in a way, it's you got to manage too
good.
Much
this
growth.
Is where we should be. But, you know, it was a tough year. You know, many of my colleagues that run companies and friends, you know, they're either not growing at all, they're downsizing, they're shutting their doors, you know. So they're very severe and stories that you hear going on out there. So in terms of how we came through it, we really looked hard at containing a lot of expenses and cut back on a lot of things that we normally do. And I think the other thing that was really critical for us is current clients are always important, but they're never more important than in times like these. So to focus on what you have and look for more ways to bring and create value to your current clients. And how can you demonstrate ROI? What new products and services can you bring them? Because they're already aligned with you and, you know, they've already gone through the process of picking you and partnering with you. So what else can you do there? So I think, you know, a focus for us has been on growing and maintaining our current clients.
Published a book, Customer Chemistry, speaking mm-hmm. of current clients and building chemistry with customers. What's interesting about this is it talks about maximizing time with good customers getting rid of the bad ones.
Right.
And no one thinks turn away money, you know, get rid of the bad ones, the ones that take their time. So talk about this.
Rebecca, you're so right on the money with that. Many times, and included, this is our own lessons that we had. You know, we spent a lot of time trying to get some high growth clients or companies, but they were demanding on resources. The margins were thin. When in fact, you know, when we sat down and really analyzed and looked at who were high growth, high margin clients that weren't a drain on the company or morale or resources, that we were better to develop a profile, what we call in the book, and look at as a best customer profile and go after more of those and let go of the ones that weren't helping us in terms of our bottom line or our margins or a drag on the company overall. And that's a really, you know, hard thing to do. It takes a lot of discipline, especially, I think, for someone who is an entrepreneur because they never want to let go mm-hmm. of revenue. And it's not just cutting them off, but it's finding them alternatives or going back to and being honest with them to say, look, you know, we want to have you as a client, but this is not working for us economically. How can we make adjustments? And if you can't, then knowing when it's time to walk away, but do it, you know, and take the high road, find them an alternative. But that does, it takes a lot of discipline to really study and know who your best customers are and what, then the whole premise of this book is profile and know your best customers and then find more products and services to sell to them.
And what are your kind of long-term plans for VIP Desk?
Long-term plans are, you know, one, to continue to focus like a laser beam on the current clients. Product and service innovation, we're getting ready to roll out support in the call center environment, customer care environment for social media, you know, managing, you know, the Twitter response, Facebook, et cetera, for these mm-hmm. large companies. So to always be progressive, looking at mobile applications to support the concierge platform. Also international expansion, there are tremendous opportunities for us to move to other countries, as many of our clients are looking to do vendor consolidations, what's happening right now that we're seeing out in the marketplace. So really, you know, continued innovation, current clients, new technologies.
So you don't want to sleep. None of that says sleep. Mary's going to sleep.
Or no one on the team is, you know, because really, you know, I have an incredible team who deserves all the credit for the growth and you know, all that we are doing and accomplished.
And so I have to ask you, you borrowed money from your mom, $2,000. Mm-hmm. Did you pay her back?
You know, it's funny. One, she never lets me forget that I borrowed that $2,000. but I did pay her back, you know, with interest. And, you know, she's my number one fan. And, you know, I think the severe disappointment of not going over to law school, she's gotten over it now.
Okay, good.
And, you know, has been what I'll call the corporate mom. You know, is there at the staff events throughout the year. And, you know, it's just my number one cheerleading fan.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Mary, best of luck with VIP Desk
and
everything you're going to do in the future.
Appreciate it.
And supportive mom is great. Of course, you can find Mary's interview. Audiocast is available at leadersportfolio.com. There's a bio and a link to VIP Desk as well, all at leadersportfolio.com. I want to thank our sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. all on Leaders Portfolio.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.